Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege and honor to introduce to you the governor of the state of Florida, Ron DeSantis.
We are guided by, in our efforts, by a strong commitment to the principles on which our country was founded and that have endured for centuries. That our rights come from God, not from government. That constitutional limitations on government's power are essential to preserve liberty, that ours is a government of laws, not a government of men, and that government derives its power from the consent of we the people.
Key things to remind people about. It's not so terrible to every once in a while have a bit of a civics refresher. I would not say that we are suffering from an abundance of civics knowledge and wisdom in the United States of America in the year 2025, so I'll take the occasional reminder that, yeah, this is the stuff we believe in.
The sturdy foundation of American principles is the guide that the free state of Florida must never abandon. We have stood in the breach and protected our people from noxious ideologies and trendy but empty social fads. We chose freedom over fear. We chose education over indoctrination. We have chosen law and order over rioting and disorder. We are proud of our state's accomplishments while we recognize the work that lies ahead. Our rudder is set.
Oh, yeah, I forgot there was an applause cue coming right there. You know, when the applause doesn't come right away, sometimes you jump ahead too quickly. You know, you gotta let it breathe a little bit, son. You gotta let the crowd come in for you. That was one of the things. Again, it was kind of a contrast to me to see DeSantis' speech and then Trump's speech. And how different they are in level of showmanship. I mean, Trump is a master crowd worker. DeSantis is the policy nerd. I mean, he is. It's they're different. They have different skills. Nobody's ever accused Trump of being a policy nerd. Not ever, not even in joking. It's too far out of the reality for you to even say it out loud. DeSantis is a lawyer. Words matter. Particular details matter. Trump is a manipulator, a deal maker. Words and facts do not matter. In fact, you know, one of the things I was thinking about this yesterday or this morning, it occurred to me. The line that he used about the mice? About the transgender mice in Lesotho. Well, he said Lesotho. I don't know how he mispronounced it. It was terrible. Which, by the way, the number one search on Google was Lesotho, Africa. Oh, it wasn't Lesotho. It was Trump country, Africa. What? And so more people, you know, I think Lesotho actually issued a press release saying, thank you for your interest. I mean, it was kind of a wild thing. Anyway, I've said this a couple of times, but it's worth remembering. Trump routinely misstates facts, exaggerates facts. You know, if something is 100 billion, he'll say 300 billion. If 20,000 people died building the Panama Canal, he says 38,000 people. It's not 38,000. It's never going to have been 38,000. I don't know why he keeps saying the false number. And the fact that he adds the 8 instead of rounding to a 10 makes it seem like it's accurate out of specificity. It's not. It's just false. But a lot of people died building the Panama Canal. And so you tell an error that winds up teaching a truth, that the Panama Canal was a massively costly in lives and money investment, even though the fact you're telling is an exaggeration. So he uses a falsehood to tell the truth. Also realize he does the other side. He uses truths to tell falsehoods. Like when he's wanting to perpetuate an idea about like the Medicare fraud thing, remember we talked about this? You know, he'll give you the numbers of people that are on the Medicare rolls that are you know, or sorry, not Medicare, Social Security. Number of people that are on Social Security rolls as a way of showing you how ridiculous the fraud is. And yet those people aren't receiving money. They're just on the roll. Well, okay, so he's telling a truth in order to perpetuate a lie. You know, like it's interesting to pay attention to him. And so you have to really pay attention. Anyway, back to DeSantis, who is in some ways as a virtue and in some ways not as a virtue, way more tethered to the facts and logic and reason and evidence. And, you know, sometimes he's kind of stiff in the way he presents things. But, you know, talking about the things that the Florida is doing well or right that he wants to brag about.
Thanks to recent legislation, it's now a crime to enter Florida illegally. The days of catch and release are over, and all state and local law enforcement agencies have a duty to insist in interior immigration enforcement efforts. The voters have spoken, and Florida has responded. We will be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Of course, at the moment, it's a problem that has almost dropped off the map, like the number of border enforcements, because the number of border crossings is way down. I mean, ridiculously down since Trump took office. On the economy.
Now, Florida has also led the way in creating a strong economic environment. For the past 2 years, Florida's economy has ranked number one in these United States. We rank number one in entrepreneurship, number one in new business formations, number one in GDP growth amongst large states, and we have an unemployment rate that has been lower than the national average for more than 50 consecutive months straight.
Pretty, pretty good. And you may remember,
we represented the refuge for freedom and sanity during the coronavirus pandemic, not just for other states and throughout our country, but even for people throughout the world. People moved here. Businesses flocked to our state, and investment to Florida surged.
I've said it many times. The thing that made me fall deeply, madly, probably perpetually in love with Governor DeSantis was the handling of COVID. I will always respect him for that. You can never take that away. The lies that were told about Florida and the truth that was happening in Florida, it's amazing. But still, it's a bit dated as a brag. It's a little bit, you know, when was COVID? Wasn't last year. It wasn't 2 years ago. Wasn't 3 years ago. It's been a minute, you know, since that happened. Also, his funny way of semi-mispronouncing things.
He represented the refuge for freedom and sanity.
Freedom and sanity. Well, he's freedom and sanity. Saw that a lot during the speech. Compare and contrast. Donald Trump didn't really have, almost any. There were a couple of minor gaffes in the reading of the teleprompter, but he covered it pretty well. Meanwhile, you had DeSantis, who did a lot of weird little language gaffes. Not that wasn't one. I mean, other ones, right?
We continue to set tourism records. 2024 saw more than...
Tourism, not tourism. Anyway, but that's
we continue to set tourism records. 2024 saw more than 142 million visitors come to the state of Florida. This includes 3.3 million visitors from Canada. That's not much of a boycott in my book. Maybe they wanted to get a glimpse of what a Stanley Cup winning hockey team actually looks like.
Okay. I mean, it's a funny line. Worth playing again. And now we get into some of the substance, okay? Or some of the things that are important issues now. Important issues that have been here for a year or two. Things that you really care about. Insurance.
Now, the legislature in recent years has enacted historic reforms that have improved economic conditions and has addressed very difficult issues like insurance. Because of these reforms, automobile insurance rates are scheduled to come down this year, between 6 and 10.5% average reductions amongst the three largest companies, even as rates continue to skyrocket nationwide.
Nationwide. Anyway, maybe this is because it's cars. This is one of those always compare apples to apples. I know he's trying to make it seem like we're doing better and around us are doing worse. We're falling and they're rising. Well, the question is, but at what number are we? Right? You know, because we could be at, I don't know, let's just make up a number. Your insurance for your car could be $2,000 a year. Okay, insurance for that same car in Michigan, not to wish it on anybody, and I'm from there, I can say that, or Illinois, might be $1,000 a year. And in Florida, it's going to go down to 1,900 a year. And in Michigan, it's going to go up to 1,100 a year. We're falling, they're rising. Sounds great, right? Well, no, you're paying $800 more a year. So always be careful about your math. Make sure that the math terms are apples to apples. Or, and, you know, you can celebrate that it's coming down here. That's not a bad thing. It's always just a, you know, don't brag it's being cut in a place that it's already too high in comparison where it's being increased in a place where it's already much lower. That's not a fair comparison.
Our homeowners insurance market is seeing stability. 11 new companies have entered the market over the past year. 130,000 new private policies were put into effect in 2024. And last year, believe it or not, S&P Global rated Florida as having the lowest increases amongst all 50 states.
Okay, again, that's great. Getting more insurers, private writing of policies, moving people off Citizens. Those are all very, very good things to solve a very bad situation. And you hear it at the end, the same thing. The rates are rising faster elsewhere, but rising from what number? You know, yeah, they're accelerating faster from 30, so they're up to 35. We're accelerating slower, so we're up to 72 from 70. Like, that's higher objective number. Like, the base rate is actually higher. That's the problem.
Now, our economy is strong in part because our spending and budget policies are sensible. We are actually spending less money in the current fiscal year than we did in the previous fiscal year. Where else in this country have they actually reduced spending? We have the lowest number of state government workers per capita amongst all 50 states.
Oh, and by the way, that's a definite celebrate that. Now, again, just to kind of asterisk on this, part of the reason that we're spending less money is because, anybody? Because we don't have the Biden massive inflationary giveaways anymore. Right. All of that money is kind of evaporated from the system. And so we're going to have to. This is why you hear the legislators talking about not making a lot of additional funding appropriate, you know, tighter environment, more of the line item veto and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, as far as fiscal responsibility and keeping a small public workforce, those are all good things. Celebrate that for sure. And here's where you get into some of his offerings that I just don't share people's enthusiasm about this stuff. But I'll tell you afterwards.
In addition to our traditional tax holidays, I'm proposing we add holidays for marine fuel to help our boaters and anglers enjoy Florida's waters, as well as a Second Amendment summer for the purchases of firearms, ammo, and accoutrements. I know a lot of people in the state will appreciate that. Florida.
Which staffer wrote accoutrements? which of the speechwriters thought, this is the word we want in this speech? We want the word in this speech that many, many people neither know what it means or how to pronounce it properly. Just say firearms, just say guns. You don't have to add the French word. Anyway, and I don't agree. I know I'm in the minority on this. It's fine. I'm going to keep saying it anyway. We should not have tax holidays for specific items. I don't care whether it's education supplies. I don't care whether it's hurricane supplies. I don't really care whether it's, you know, what we're going to have is a chainsaw holiday weekend, tax holiday week. I like, you know, board games. I love board games. No tax on board games in May. Stop it. Just make the products, have the taxes, let them be the same across the board. See what I did there? I love when both David and John groan. I can see it in their eyes. Oh, he didn't. Those are tax losses. Those are costs. And there's no reason for the federal government, run by conservatives, that should be engaging in this kind of market manipulation. One of the principles of conservatism is free markets. And telling people that we're going to favor this kind of product over that kind of product, or we're going to bless and generously support this product or not that one. The government shouldn't be doing that, because all that does is falsify market signals and, you know, distort and disrupt the free market. Just stop. I like guns. There shouldn't be a tax holiday on guns. I like hurricane supplies. People should buy them. There shouldn't be a tax holiday on hurricane supplies. It's It's silly. But we do it every year, and I know I'm going to lose this argument. So last one in terms of I have a couple of other things for later, but this is the last one for now.
Florida remains the only state in America to tax business rent. And while we've reduced the rate of the tax, it is time to eliminate it altogether.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. I mean, right. You make us on par with other places because, you know, if companies have to pay a tax on the business rent, that is a discouragement for them relocating here. That's a level playing field kind of thing. So I agree with that. The stuff that I thought was particularly interesting was, you know, the higher ed stuff, which we'll talk about that later. And that is one of those, like, golden boy stories about Florida. It's amazing that we almost don't want to say too loud because we kind of are glad people don't know it. Kind of like we want people to come here to enjoy our beach, but not love it so much, you know, because maybe if everybody starts to move here, then it changes everything. Same problem when it comes to, which, you know, I want us to have people coming here. I came here. I'm not from here. But, you know, maybe not too many. Same thing with the whole education thing. The property tax elimination is another big topic. That's going to be a major push for the government this year. We'll talk about that a little bit later. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
This is the story of the one. He's responsible for keeping a leading healthcare facility clean and safe. And he trusts Grainger's high-quality HVAC cleaning and safety products, combined with their world-class supply chain, to consistently deliver, ensuring he's covered inside and out, so he can focus on keeping his facility clean to help protect the health of everyone inside. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You should be at least a two-star admiral by now, if not a senator. Yet here you are. Captain. Why is that?
It's one of life's mysteries, sir.
'93 and we're in the club. 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. By the way, kids, that's a date from last century. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines, David.
Well, good morning. China says that it's prepared to fight any type of war with the U.S. This comes after President Trump enacted tariffs this week. The Chinese embassy in the U.S. posting on X that, quote, if war is what the U.S. wants, be it a tariff war, trade war, or any other type of war, we're ready to fight until the end. President Trump reportedly planning to sign an executive order that would effectively shut down the Department of Education today. That could happen as soon as today. The draft order was seen by the Wall Street Journal. It would direct Education Secretary Linda McMahon to take all steps permitted by law to facilitate that department's closure.
What did I say from the very first moment she was nominated?
Oh, you said she was being brought in to shut her down.
She's being hired to turn out the lights. That's exactly right. Now, he does need Congress to officially do this. I'm sure there will be lawsuits challenging anything that he does quickly, but this is the most 100% predictable thing that anybody has ever known. He promised it in the campaign. It's absolutely a part of the standard conservative rhetoric for the last, well, let's see, the Department of Education went in what, 79? Okay, so we've got 46 years of the Department of Education. For 46 years, Republicans have been saying get rid of the Department of Education. You know what's amazing is prior to 1979, we managed to teach children how to read and do math and, you know, build things. I don't know how we did it without a Department of Education. I don't know how we would do it without a Department of Education, but somehow...
It was arguably much more effective then.
Somehow, for a couple of hundred years as a country, we managed to do okay. Go ahead, David.
Well, I've got bad news for you, Andrew.
Uh-oh.
Adidas has sold the last of its Yeezy shoe stock, so you're going to have to go to the secondary market now.
That's the only place I go anyway.
The company cut ties.
W Street, here I come.
The company cut ties with Kanye West in 2022. Now, 2.5 years later, they've finally gotten rid of the last of their Yeezys.
Wow. All right.
So, there you have it.
Is that the way you would say it? I was trying to make a local joke, like I'm going to the T&W flea market to get my secondhand Adidas.
I think you could find them there, probably. Right. Yeah,
can't go to 98 anymore because that place doesn't exist. That's a school now, right? All the big flea markets in town. Anyway, yeah, no more Yeezys. I cry a tear.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump delivers an ultimatum to Hamas.
Trump posting on Truth Social. Release all the hostages now, not later, and immediately return all the dead bodies of the people you murdered, or it is over for you. I am sending Israel everything it needs to finish the job.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson reporting. U.S. diplomats talking with Hamas. This has never happened before. New Jersey Congressman Jeff Van Drew reacting to the ultimatum.
Dealing with the face of evil, that we have to be strong, and that they better release these hostages and these bodies immediately, or if not, there's going to be hell to pay. There's no in-between here.
A Republican last hour on Fox and Friends First. The Pope nearing 3 weeks in Rome's Gemelli Hospital battling double pneumonia. Vatican says Wednesday night was peaceful for the pontiff, who is resting comfortably. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, 45 degrees, partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Governor Ron DeSantis calling on state lawmakers to extend a state law that bans mRNA vaccine mandates. He says that law sunsets this coming June.
Those protections will expire unless the legislature acts to make them permanent.
Governor DeSantis says if that law expires, it would allow private businesses and schools to resume mRNA mandates. The governor pushed for that ban on vaccine mandates, along with bans on mask mandates, in response to COVID-19. A case of the measles was reported at a school in Miami. Contact tracing currently underway there. Free vaccines are being provided at the school through the next week. FIU infectious disease expert Dr. Mary Jo Trepka says it's better to vaccinate to prevent the measles, not in response to an outbreak.
So measles is a highly contagious disease. It's actually one of the most contagious infectious diseases, much more so than the flu or COVID.
And she says sometimes symptoms like high fever, runny nose, and a rash take up to 2 weeks to present after exposure. Of course, all of this coming after an outbreak of the measles in Texas, where over 150 kids were infected, and one person died as a result of that outbreak as well. Senator Rick Scott wants to know what happened to the billions of dollars spent on broadband expansion. Yesterday, he introduced the Broadband Buildout Accountability Act. He says it'll increase accountability and transparency for the billions of dollars spent on broadband expansion. Scott said $42 billion in grants were meant to bring internet to rural communities, but it hasn't connected a single American to high-speed internet in the last 4 years. He says Americans deserve to know exactly how the government is spending their money. UWF's speech and debate team excelled at the Florida Intercollegiate Forensic Association State Championship Tournament, capturing several state titles this week. The group, known as UWF's Reader Theater, clinched the championship for their one-act play, which highlighted the importance of community within speech and debate. Senior Michaela Jacobs took home a state title in prose interpretation. She'll represent Florida now at a national contest in Nashville. The tournament included speech and debate teams from 11 other universities across the state. Well, the Fort Pickens campground at the Gulf Islands National Seashore reopens later this afternoon. This will be after a brief closure this week due to that severe weather that moved through the area. Day use areas reopened yesterday. A pedestrian has died after being hit by a vehicle on Highway 98 near the Perdido Bay Emergency Room facility. FHP says the pedestrian was walking in the middle of a roadway about 9 p.m. yesterday and was hit from behind by a vehicle that didn't see them. The victim was identified as a 42-year-old man from Flomaton, Alabama. Right now, we do have 42 degrees in Pensacola. It is 44 reported in Gulf Breeze and 43 in Milton. Our next news is at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable. Now a market update.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Wall Street Journal reports Shell is exploring a potential sale of its chemicals assets in Europe and the U.S. The process is in the early stages and is part of Shell's strategic review of its chemicals operations. No final decisions on whether to sell have been made. Microsoft has moved away from some of its agreements with cloud computing provider CoreWeave over delivery issues and missed deadlines. That's according to the Financial Times. Microsoft has several ongoing contracts with CoreWeave that provide it with computing capacity from data centers, a partnership which is worth billions of dollars. The White House said President Trump will exempt U.S. automakers from his 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico for 1 month, as long as they comply with existing free trade rules. This comes after Trump spoke with leaders of Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis. Futures are sharply lower amid President Trump's tariffs dispute. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 485, the S&P 500 up 64. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models. Or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
Pensacola Little Theater is excited to present The Play That Goes Wrong, a side-splitting comedy that follows the mishaps of the Cornley Polytechnic Drama Society as they endeavor to perform a murder mystery play titled The Murder on Haversham Manor. However, everything that can go wrong goes wrong, culminating in a hilarious spectacle that will keep the audience in stitches from beginning to end. The show will run from March 7th to March 16th. You can secure your tickets for the show online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the PLT box office.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Down with the DC talk.
Good morning, 5:39 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a good conversation with Mayor D.C. Reeves, who was in Tampa, Florida, as a part of the Leadership Florida conference that he is, and a conference for Leadership Florida that he is a part of. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. So just before we get into all the things that you and I are going to talk about, maybe just give folks the 30-second, you know, what is Leadership Florida and why'd you bother going there?
Yeah, Leadership Florida is, you know, like the programs you might have heard of, Leadership Pensacola or Northwest Florida. It's the state-level group where about 45 people from all of the state and all different walks of life all come together to, you know, not only network but to learn about our state and to, you know, build relationships. And as you know, Andrew, from whether it's politics or anything else, when we're stuck over in the central time zone as a state, you know, it's pretty important to get out and build these relationships, and probably a little harder for us than anywhere else in the state. You know, we've got great members. I mean, just a couple of examples of, you know, the leader of the Miami Children's Trust is in our group. I've obviously had some conversations with him. Erica Donald, Byron Donald's wife, who's, you know, heavy into education, is in our group, and many, many others. And so it's just a good way to for the city of Pensacola to continue to stay connected to the state level and build relationships when they count and when they matter, to be able to pick up the phone and call someone.
Yeah, the ostensible or ostensive reason for doing leadership programs is the information that you get, the education that you get, which is great. But the real value of these, everybody will tell you, is the people you meet, the connections you make, the relationships, and then the people you can reach out to when you need information or you want to get something done. And it is invaluable. So that's cool. I want to start with something that's probably to the general public, maybe a smaller issue, but I know you well enough to know that this is actually a major transition. You've had a couple of people leave the administration recently. Clark Merritt left, who'd longtime port director, assistant, and then port director. And then, of course, we had David Forte leave, was your assistant city manager. Before that, he was in traffic. But you had a major loss of personnel from Alex Smith, who was your chief of staff. He's gone over to UWF. And, you know, I know you guys have been tight like thieves for a long time. Though you're happy, I'm sure, for him, there's a part of you that's like, oh, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, listen, I think especially as I had, you know, great folks as I was in through my 20s and 30s in journalism, and certainly, you know, people like Quint, and I worked for them. Kind of like what you just said about Leadership Florida. I mean, half the battle is the fun of the job and getting things done. The other half is building and growing as a person. And so, you know, my joke about Alex has been the the next best thing to keeping someone forever for the rest of time is for people in our community to build their skills and develop and then go make even bigger impact somewhere else. Right. Yeah. And that's what we all want. And realistically is if you're not going to be with us or wherever you are, you know, if that person grows and develops, isn't going to stay with you forever. The next best thing and a very, very close second is to go do great things somewhere else that helps the city, the region, the community. So I know he'll do that at UWF, and certainly excited for him.
Yeah, and I mean, Alex is super capable, and, you know, he's the only person in your administration that made you look old.
exactly.
You know,
that's right.
I just have a small recommendation request having to do with red light cameras. I know you don't have data yet for last month, and we're going to get that on a, you know, next week or something like that. Could we maybe set up a website on the Pensacola page that just tracks, you know, this is what the initial data was before we had them installed, this is what the, you know, the warning time data was, and this is the citations we've given out on a, I don't know, monthly is probably good enough, per intersection or approach, and even include things like how many this month did PPD decline, just so we can track it over time along with you and don't have to always ask you, you know, to publish the data.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. Of course, from the get-go, we had that conversation from a tracking standpoint. And listen, it's self-policing for us. I want everyone to see either how bad they're doing,
right?
Because, you know, what's the big stereotypical false myth about this? This is a money grab. Well, if it's a money grab, then we have nothing to hide. We don't care. You can count revenue. You can do anything you want because we know where our goal is. Our goal is zero of these. And so if there's revenue that's generated, that what are we going to spend it on? Police and fire and improving intersections. So, you know, we're just going to be using dollars of people being irresponsible to try to make our city safer. So,
and that could even be part of the website. I mean, you know, how much money did you collect? How much money did the service collect? And where did the money? I mean, all of that, you know, inform people.
Right. Right, exactly. So yes. Well, we really wanted two things. Remember, we were trying to make sure we worked out the kinks of all of the intersections to make sure, you know, even the ones operating. And we still have one, I think, that's not up yet. And then second is, yeah, just to have enough of a sample size. But philosophically, absolutely. I think we're on the same page. Like you said, I don't want to be the manual reporter of this every week at a press conference. You know, I mean, we're happy right. to share those things all the time. We're just waiting till next week so we had a full month. We didn't want to confuse people because, you know, we would have put out data and then people would have said, oh, it was only this many in February. No, it was 6 days short of a full month. So we were just trying to keep the messaging and of what we're trying to tell people clean by sharing it next week. But no, great idea. And something we've talked about from the get-go. And we'll probably get that up once we have a little bit bigger sample size.
John can confirm that earlier when I mentioned this on the show, I said, I bet they're already thinking about this, even as I'm suggesting it. And you were 100%. That's exactly right. I appreciate that. It seems to me like, well, one of the other stories that I know, I think I was maybe the first one to, like, in a news capacity to report it. And I don't know whether it's a big story or not, but seeing the I-beams moved underneath Graffiti Bridge is a big deal. To me, it looks like a major issue. But I assume the bridge is safe. You've said that the railroad has told you that the bridge is safe. And it certainly has brought up again this conversation about the very slow progress that has been able to be made on getting a warning system to stop the trucks from hitting it. But just on the safety level, as far as you know, the bridge is safe, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yes. You know, again, if we were given any indication that it wasn't or we're even unsure. And again, our people, I think this is the biggest misperception. We do not, I don't mean from you, but just from the general public, I think you understand that this is the rail company's bridge. You have to think about that. We don't own the bridge, right? So it's not ours. The same way that the state owns Three Mile Bridge, the Graffiti Bridge itself is owned by the rail company. They possess it. We couldn't go work on it if we wanted to without their permission, for example, right? It's not ours. So we could close the road, but so what do we do when there's a strike? It is their duty when there is a strike to have the bridge inspected both by themselves and by another third party.
Okay.
Someone else has to come in that's not them to look at it as well. So, you know, in a sense, to your point, hey, you see something that looks a little off, obviously always let us know. We'll never be mad because someone, you know, tried to alert of a potential safety issue.
Right.
It's important for our listeners and readers and our citizens to understand, you know, there's very limited things that we have to do with any of the maintenance or operation of this bridge. The only thing we can work on, segueing to your second part, is, you know, how do we try to decrease the amount of strikes on the bridge? And that's been slow moving just because of how many layers. And you probably heard my press conference, and for listeners that didn't, we have been told by FDOT that this warning system will be the first in the state of Florida, which I still don't believe.
It's hard to believe. Yeah,
like,
I agree.
I told them that. I was like, can you double check that before I go tell people that? Because right. I mean, it's hard to believe that there's no bridge in Florida that has an actual warning system that doesn't have warning signs. So, you know, I don't know if that's, we should be celebrating that or not, Andrew.
Yeah, we're uniquely bad at navigating traffic infrastructure, apparently, here in Pensacola.
I mean, but I can see why, right? I mean, this is an old bridge. It's been there a long time, and it's only two lanes. I mean, so, you know, anything that's been built in the last, 30, 40 years would probably wouldn't even have this issue, right? So I guess it makes sense in a way, but that's why it's been just layer after layer of, what system goes in? Where does it go on the curb? Is it physical or is it a laser system? Is it, and then where can we put the poles in the ground? Because we need that soil from the state to give them to give it to us. So it's a complicated mess that we can work through. We will work through. It's not going to not happen. It's just lots of layers to an unprecedented thing in the state of Florida, apparently.
And something you've mentioned before, which is totally relevant, is people in boats want to not have to hit something before they're going to the boat ramp because the boats aren't going to go under the bridge, but you don't want, you know, all of these little wrinkles are real problems. I wanted to talk with you about, first of all, kudos to your staff, PPD, everybody involved in the parade. I mean, the parade was great. You could clearly see things had been done to beef up defensive measures. Parking was, it was a mess, but I didn't see it being as much of a mess as I had been worried that it would be. So it seems like it mostly worked out okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you didn't see your 45-minute Andrew McKay spot that we tried to save for you down there, 45 minutes in advance on the south.
No.
You must not have found it. But
I
yeah,
didn't, no.
No, I'm, but no, you know what? Honestly, thank you for saying that. And our we got a lot of great comments from, I mean, to be honest, and I'm not trying to ignite somebody to send me a negative email, but we really heard very little negative response about the extension of East and West Main Street. And I mean, when I finished the parade on Saturday and came around Main Street, I mean, it is a completely different animal as it pertains to how safe it is when there isn't all of those cars moving alongside floats and hundreds of people on all four of those corners. I mean, it just looks significantly safer. So we got a lot of comments about just feeling safer. And isn't that what we want? I mean,
right.
At the end of the day,
right.
where you're sleeping, where you're parading, whatever, that should be at pretty much everybody, regardless of your party, regardless of your age or your race. We all want to feel safe. And it seemed like that was the feedback we got. And so we'll debrief. We'll see if there's anything to get better. And I only kid, if there's something you saw that's a process improvement out there, certainly feel free to email us and we'll take a look at that when we debrief. All in all, we're very thrilled with the result.
And I feel very dumb because right at the end of the parade, I completely failed to think about how I should have walked a block south and shot video of Main Street closed. It just didn't even occur to me. And now as you're talking about it, I'm like, oh, missed opportunity. So, next year or summer or whenever we have our next parades. We don't have a lot of time on it, but you did get your bids in. They're unverified bids, so you don't want to get too excited about it so far. But bids in on the Baptist property demolition came in under budget enough that you are confident that you're going to be able to do it with the money that's available, right?
Right. We really looked at February 27th as kind of a green light, red light situation, right? Do we feel comfortable enough with the bids or not? We do. And again, they're verifying them, can't share numbers. We have a bid protocol and process that we've got to go through. Can't say who or any of that. But
sure. All
we can tell you is it's a green light. And that, if we were to use my analogy, it's a green light right now, which we're obviously very, very grateful for and happy to hear because now it's just a matter of trying to get this thing done, get a donation agreement done, and get those buildings demoed.
One quick thing before we get to the lightning round. Do we have a target date to start the recycling program yet?
We were looking at mid-April. It might push to May 1st, but you're going to hear before in the coming weeks, you're going to start getting information from us about pricing.
Got it.
You're going to start getting inundated with things in the mail about it. You'll start hearing about it in the next probably 30 days.
I just suddenly had in my brain that it was March, and I'm like, it can't be March because we're here already. So, thank you so much.
Yeah,
and I know
we're talking about kind of a big formal launch no later than the first week of April. So it could be March, could be first week of April, and then the actual service probably starting in May.
Got it. We always like to end with some fun lightning round. To the extent that you've ever had the experience, is DC Reeves at all afraid of the basement, either hurries up the stairs or dreads going down?
I mean, back in the day, and you know, I guess we always had that kid in you when you turn the light off, but do you even have a basement?
I don't, no.
Do we have those in Florida?
Very few people have basements.
I guess when I'm traveling in the Midwest, yes, I'm nervous when I'm
all right.
In the basement.
The kid in you comes out, all right. You're walking down, let's say, Palafox. You see a penny on the ground. You leave it, you put it in your pocket. What's happening to that penny? How important is a penny to you?
I should stop reading data. This is what I think about with a penny. I was like, at 40 years old, am I going to throw my back out for this penny? Is it going to be, what's the
risk?
What is the value, the profit loss here of picking up this penny? So
you don't.
So the next question would be, what's the minimum,
Well, what is your minimum coinage? What coin do you stoop for?
I'm willing to throw my back out, I don't know, for a quarter, I guess.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I 100% agree with you. And last one is leftover pizza sitting on the counter. Do you leave it sit out overnight? Do you put it in the fridge? Do you reheat it? Do you eat it cold? What's your protocol?
Normally in the fridge, and then the output ends up being either cooked or cold based on time. But I'm good either way, actually. I'll do it either way. If I got time, but I got to do the oven. I can't do the microwave. Got to do the oven.
Okay, so not the microwave, but in the oven. So you're kind of a pizza-eating omnivore, like anything goes.
Right, I know, which is probably a sad state of affairs.
No. I admire the diversity. I mean, that's an inclusive answer, and I kind of like that. Mayor D.C. Reeves, sir, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again and have a next week, and have a great and productive trip in Tampa, and travel home safely.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you're needing any kind of work inside the home that has to do with air conditioning, heating, plumbing, or electrical, which are all the kind of like complicated things in the home, you know, Peden will take care of all of that stuff for you. They've, of course, been expanding all along the Gulf Coast, been in business for 55 years, and, you know, everything from Panama City over to Tallahassee, and, of course, they've been at Ellison Field for a long time here in Pensacola. And then, you know, they expanded to Baldwin County and then eventually to Mobile County. So they're just, I mean, all over, not only the, you know, the Gulf Coast, but even across to Alabama, which is kind of interesting to see a, you know, Florida company operate across the state line. But professional service, show up with the good products, take care of you right the first time, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, so you know you're going to get what you need exactly how they say it, and it's going to be right. And right now, Peden's got a special. You know, they do different specials every month. Their special for the month of March is $1,000 off mini-split air conditioning systems. So $1,000 off mini-splits. They're thinking of it for March Madness. Like, if you want to turn that garage where you watch your games into an air-conditioned room instead of just being, you know, open air, you can cool down your garage, your sunroom, or your workshop this summer. $1,000 off mini-splits for March Madness. Find out more at Peden, PEDEN.com.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Many families in our community are one step away from homelessness, and you can help change that. Your Leadership Pensacola Class of 2025 has partnered with Family Promise of Escambia County to remodel a home for displaced families. Your cash and in-kind donation will help us complete repairs and provide furnishings that will make this a home for families in need. Learn more and donate at leapclassproject.org. That's leapclassproject.org. Together, we can make a difference.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, the news radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Stop swinging the bat.
Stop it!
Put the bat down, Wendy.
Stop it!
Wendy, give me the bat.
You know, of bands I love that I wish had made more music, Jane's Addiction. Love Jane's Addiction. Can't play most of it on the radio. Or some of it, anyway. You didn't know the movie? Did you recognize the voice?
I did recognize the voice.
Jack Nicholson.
Right. But I couldn't.
It's The Shining.
Ah.
Wendy.
It's early in the morning, man.
Wendy. 5:57. It's on the staircase when she's
there
swinging the bat at him.
Yep.
All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump warning Hamas that they need to release hostages held in Gaza, or in his words, quote, it is over for you. Giles Gibson reporting that Trump posted that warning on social media yesterday as the White House confirmed the U.S. has been holding direct talks with Hamas.
The Trump administration is currently trying to break the deadlock in relation to the Gaza ceasefire deal. And by holding direct talks with Hamas, it's reversing a long-standing policy of not holding negotiations with organizations classed as terror groups by the U.S.
And in the post, Trump also addressed the people of Gaza, saying a beautiful future awaits, but if you hold hostages, you are dead.
Yeah, it was a pretty sternly worded truth he put out. And by the way, this longstanding policy of not negotiating with terrorists, the two main reasons we don't do that historically is A, because it grants them legitimacy, diplomatic legitimacy, and B, because you incentivize the bad behavior by caving or making demands or concessions of any kind when you reward them for example, taking hostages. But, you know, here we are. It's a whole new world, right? Go ahead, David.
Absolutely. Well, an update on Pope Francis from the Vatican today. He remains in stable condition. In an update yesterday evening, the Vatican said he had spent the day in his armchair and is starting to increase respiratory and active motor physiotherapy.
Okay, well, that seem like good things, so good. I'm glad for that. Get ready to soar at the 4th Annual Union Kites on the Coast, March 14th through the 16th at Casino Beach. It's 3 days of kite flying fun put on with the council by the Council on Aging of West Florida. Great event.